Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Chemours. I'm Kyle Gargaro, Editorial Director of the News. Thanks for the download. Today, we're talking about a topic that the entire HVAC industry is talking about, the refrigerant transition from R410A for the residential and light commercial AC markets. Specifically, we're talking about R454B. We have lined up representatives from four manufacturers to help us sort through this transition. Let me please introduce them. We have Larry Burns, who's a technical fellow for refrigerant systems at Carrier. Jeff Staub, who's the director of application engineering at Danfoss. Troy Brostrom, who is the vice president of unitary engineering for Emerson Commercial and Residential Solutions. And from Chemours, we have Steven Splitzer. So with all their knowledge, I'm sure you don't want to hear from me anymore. So let's get started. Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I want to start off kind of in terms of properties and performance. How does R454B compare to R410A? And I'm looking specifically maybe efficiency, capacity, pressures, that kind of thing. You want to kind of kick us off, Stephen?
Sure. Well, R454B, or what we call Opteon XL41, is a very close match in properties overall to R410A. That was the goal with our sustainable refrigerant solutions, to mirror the performance of the products we're replacing while reducing global warming potential, or GWP, as much as possible. Now, R454B has the lowest GWP of the leading R410A alternatives. And given the recent passage of the AIM Act and the upcoming HFC phase down in the US, this is becoming an important aspect for replacement refrigerant selection. With R454B, OEMs can select a product that helps minimize design changes while potentially offering a longer-term solution than other higher GWP R410A alternatives. And Chemours has collaborated now for over a decade with our industry partners to help determine the optimal solutions for this transition.
Great. Wanted to bring you in on this question. Also, Troy, maybe give a little bit of the Emerson perspective, if you would.
Sure, Kyle. R454B, it's similar in pressure to 410A, and it has the ability to deliver more capacity at similar or even better efficiency levels when the equipment and the components are optimized for use with the fluid. So Emerson has designed Copeland compressors to be optimized for 454B, leveraging most of the base 410A compression design, with the majority of the components actually being the same. Essentially, the size of the compressor shell doesn't change regardless of which refrigerant is being used. So Emerson's 454B Copeland compression solutions are built on next generation platforms. They also have technologies that deliver higher inherent efficiencies through motor and component optimizations. Now, the compressor discharge temperatures with 454B are higher than with 410A. However, the same compressor and system level technology that we employ to optimize capacity and efficiency, it also serves to mitigate the impact of those temperatures on reliability.
That all makes sense. I also was kind of curious on what were the key factors in the selection criteria for an R410A replacement. Larry, maybe you can jump in here and talk about Carrier's thought process.
Okay, sure, Kyle, glad to. So when preparing for the HFC phase down, Carrier considered the industry needs when selecting a refrigerant. The current refrigerant, R410A, has a global warming potential, or GWP, of 2,088. With a GWP of 466, R454B is about one-fifth of the GWP of that for 410A. R454B, which will be known commercially as Puron Advance, was selected as Carrier's preferred solution for all of its ducted residential and light commercial package solutions sold in North America. As a near performance match for R410A and the closest of the available replacement options, we felt that it was an ideal balance of environmental impact, performance, safety, and longevity based on the United Nations Montreal Protocol HFC phase down. R454B performance is very similar to that of R410A with R454B having slightly higher efficiency. R454B discharge pressures are lower than R410A. However, discharge temperatures are higher, but this increase is not great enough to pose a concern. Overall, Carrier has done extensive modeling and testing of new refrigerants with our compressor suppliers. We chose R454B to be used specifically in ducted residential and light commercial products because it has a lower GWP for the application, good reliability, good performance, and we anticipate it will have a longer design life compared to higher GWP alternatives in the event of future GWP phase downs beyond 2025.
All right, wanted to pivot a little bit and talk TXVs if I could. Kind of specifically, will they be very different for R410A and R454B? And will technicians notice a difference? Jeff, given that you're with Danfoss, you might be the man for this question.
Sure, thanks, Kyle. When we look at TXVs, really from a technician's concern, there's not going to be much of a difference between a TXV for R410A and a TXV for R454B. The capacities of the refrigerants, they're very close. So a 3-ton R410A valve will be equivalent to a 3-ton R454B valve. What the technician will notice is a difference is when you're looking at the power head label on the thermostatic expansion valve. They need to take note as the refrigerant that the expansion valve is designated for. Some manufacturers may have thermostatic expansion valves that are rated for both R410A and R454B, and other manufacturers may use a different expansion valve due to the fact that the bulb charge is different inside of the bulb. But from a physical appearance, the TXV is going to be the same. It's going to be installed the same and operate the same as an R410A valve. The valve will have the same orifice size, so essentially the capacities will be very similar. You only have very slight differences between the refrigerants, so you only see a slight difference in the capacity. And actually, this can be compensated by the evaporator and compressor selections in the system, so it's very possible you won't see any differences with the valve. Again, the only real difference between an R410A and an R454B expansion valve is what's inside the bulb charge. And from a technician standpoint, as long as you ensure that the label on top of the valve is the appropriate refrigerant that's in the system, then you'll be good to go.
All right, great. I was also kind of curious about the compressor oils. Will R454B compressors use POE, or will the industry have to go to a new type of oil like we did during the switch to R410A? Maybe Troy, you can help me out on this one.
So there's really good news here, Kyle. Most of the compressor solutions designed for A2L refrigerants used in U.S. residential and light commercial air conditioning systems will continue to utilize POE-based oils. Of course, it's really always prudent to check the technical literature for your specific system. As a matter of fact, Copeland compressors designed for 454B will continue to utilize the same exact POE oil that's used with their 410A compressors. So the same oil handling and charging procedures used with 410A systems can continue to be used with 454B systems.
All right, then what do technicians need to know about charging an R454B system? Now, is that going to be any different than working with R410A? Stephen, I'm sure Chemours has some knowledge on this subject.
Sure. So first, R454B is less dense than R410A. So charge sizes may be about 10% lower on average. Now, both R410A and R454B are lower glide blends, so the basic charging procedures are really the same. Always charge the blend as a liquid, and make sure you either use a flash valve or crack your gauges when you're charging on the low side of an operating system. And just like with R410A, the system charged with R454B can also be topped off after repairs have been made to a leaking system.
And then in talking with my readers, I've heard questions about the differences in system tools or servicing with R410A and R454B. Can you help us understand what some of these differences will be? I'll bring you back in on this question, Larry, if you don't mind.
Thanks, Kyle. The use of A2L refrigerants like R454B or R32 will require system modifications per the new product design standards. As a result, retrofitting of R410A systems with R454B or R32 will not be allowed by codes and standards. For servicing R454B systems, many standard tools can still be used. However, some equipment such as recovery machines will have to be certified for use with A2L refrigerants. New A2L compatible recovery units are currently available. Also, A2L refrigerant cylinders will have left-handed threads and new color coding with a red top to indicate flammable refrigerants. At this point, the new standards do not require left-hand threads on the air conditioning service fittings. However, there is some discussion to align with the refrigerant cylinder change. We'll continue to monitor and keep you posted on this discussion.
Okay, thanks for that. The next question I have is for you, Jeff. I know setting the correct superheat and subcooling was always critically important for R410A installations. Will these procedures be any different with R454B?
As for any expansion valve, it's critical to have adequate subcooling ahead of the valve. You need to have a solid column of liquid entering the valve. And if there's any flash gas entering the valve, it'll essentially clog the valve and won't be able to feed refrigerant. You'll lose capacity in the evaporator and you will not be able to cool the space. Your main differences between R410A and R454B when calculating the subcooling is to really ensure that you account for the 2 degrees extra of glide in R454B. Many times in residential air conditioning systems, manufacturers recommend 7 to 10 degrees of subcooling at the outlet of the condenser, and which is where it's measured in the field. However, the amount of subcooling is critical just ahead of the TXV at the indoor coil. You have to account for losses and pressure drop in the line sets, as well as accounting for the accuracy in the manifold gauges. So a lot of times when you have 10 degrees of subcooling at the outlet of the condenser unit, you could only be running 4 degrees at the expansion valve inlet. If the contractor's PT chart only shows average saturated pressure, then your subcooling calculation could be off due to the glide of the refrigerant. So make sure that you use the bubble point or liquid pressure when calculating subcooling. You just want to make sure that, as with any expansion valve, you have to have the appropriate amount of charge in the system to ensure that you have positive subcooling directly in front of the expansion valve. As far as setting the superheat goes, the superheat setting procedure is going to be the exact same whether it's an R410A or an R454B system. Use the dew point or vapor pressure when setting or calculating superheat. If it's an adjustable valve, you'll turn the spindle counterclockwise to reduce the setting and clockwise to increase the superheat of the system. You'll want to have proper superheat based on the manufacturer's recommended instructions to ensure that you have proper capacity in your evaporator, but also to ensure that you have enough superheat to protect the compressor against liquid floodback. If your valve is a non-adjustable valve, then you just charge the system to ensure proper subcooling ahead of the valve, and be sure to account for outside ambient conditions when charging. But as far as superheat goes, there's no real main differences to your superheat setting procedures.
All righty, that's good to know. And obviously training is going to be very important. So I guess my question just would be, when will training be available for A2Ls and R454B systems? Larry, you want to let us know what Carrier has planned?
Yeah, Kyle, training is a key element for the transition to A2L refrigerant and R454B. Technicians need to be aware of many factors when transitioning to new refrigerants and equipment designs. As a result, we Carrier strongly recommend technicians attend industry-sanctioned training sessions when available. We're also creating a curriculum for Carrier technicians. In addition, we recommend contractors have their technicians take the NATE examination for the new A2L, as well as A3 refrigerants that will be used in some small appliances and refrigeration products when they become available later this year. For Carrier training, this will be coordinated through local distribution offices and our commercial service organizations. And again, we highly encourage contacting them for the latest training opportunities.
All right, Troy, you want to kind of add anything on from an Emerson perspective?
Yeah, I think it's important that we look to the work that AHRI has done. They've formed the Safe Refrigerant Transition Task Force to evaluate and address gaps across the entire supply chain during this transition to low GWP refrigerants. The task force is made up of AHRI members and stakeholders employed with contractors, government agencies, the fire service, unions, training organizations, and many other businesses. AHRI has hosted a number of webinars on the transition to A2Ls. So in addition to OEM and OEM system and refrigerant manufacturer training, as Larry mentioned, ACA, ESCO, and others have recently announced the availability of training specifically to A2Ls through their channels as well.
All right, sounds good. Well, the four of you have been very generous with your time, so I guess I'll get you out on this last question. Some technicians might be a little fearful about installing or servicing a unit that uses a mildly flammable refrigerant. I know I've heard that from a few of our readers as well. What advice would you give them that may kind of get rid of those fears? I'll go ahead and address this one to you, Jeff.
Okay, thanks. In general, it's understandable that a technician might be a little bit fearful, but in general, just follow the equipment manufacturer's installation instructions. When using any refrigerant, a technician should be taking precautions not to have the refrigerant leak into the surroundings, like essentially just being careful and careful handling of the refrigerant. You should be using appropriate equipment. As Larry had mentioned previously, new A2L equipment is available, and properly evacuating the system, checking for leaks. If they're doing that, then technicians shouldn't have much of a reason for concern.
All right, great. And Stephen, I'm sure Comores has an opinion on this as well.
Sure. Just to build off what Jeff was saying, you know, it's only natural that some people here are going to be concerned about these changes. The good news is our industry has a long history of dealing with these types of transitions. And the fact is there are already many millions of A2L systems in use in the US, you know, in car air conditioning, window units, and other applications. Many more millions of these systems in use around the world with an excellent track record. And I'd also just add that while you've heard here that some things will be different with R454B, many things are gonna be the same. Best practices that we've used for years will still be used. And technicians who embrace these changes, they're going to be using the latest technologies and products to help tackle some of society's biggest challenges. And that's why, you know, training and certification really becomes so important. If you haven't attended A2L training yet, we highly recommend it. I think it'll help put a lot of those fears to rest.
All right, great information, guys. Really appreciate it. I think we really helped our contractor listeners learn maybe just a little bit more about the transition from R410A. In the shameless plug department, I would recommend listeners that are interested to check out our previous podcast we did in March on all the specifics about R454B. You can find that on achrnews.com or wherever you chose to download this podcast. Thanks again, panel, for educating us today.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.